In a few minutes, new changes on the way for student loans. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. You may see news today suggesting Americans got back to spending as summer was winding down, but let's consult a professional here. On Fridays, it's Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial here in New York. So my headline here, Chris, is that U.S. consumers were resilient in August, a rebound from July in terms of consumer spending.
Yeah, except you forgot to adjust for that other resilient thing, inflation. In real terms, spending on goods, durable and non-durable both, down a little bit. Spending on services up a little bit. The total up 0.1. July was down 0.1. So we're flat in the last 2 months.
All right. So it's not like the central bank's efforts to slow growth in the economy by raising interest rates isn't working. You're seeing a bit of that here.
You know, and basically it adds up to this. We've got wage growth in the U.S. that's about 5%. And thanks to falling gasoline prices in July and August, we have price growth that's about 5%. And what it means is that people can tread water, but it certainly isn't enough to ignite a spending spree, especially, as you point out, with the Fed raising interest rates so aggressively.
Before we go, real quick, bond market's been popular over the last day or so. That really dragged down the 10-year interest rate. Is this a long-term trend?
I suspect this is a temporary thing. You know, we made the push above 4% very, very quickly, partly in reaction to absolute turmoil in the UK markets. Things have quieted down in the UK thanks to Bank of England intervention. And so we're back at about 3.75 on the 10-year. But for your listeners, the key interest rate that pegs off the 10-year is mortgage rates. And unfortunately, that pushed to a new high, according to Freddie Mac, 6.7% in a survey yesterday.
Christopher Lowe at FHN Financial in New York, chief economist. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
With no detectable fanfare, it's just emerged that the Biden administration is cutting back on its student loan forgiveness program. Now, originally, people who had private loans not held by the U.S. Department of Education could roll them into a direct government loan to get some of that debt written off. But with this new restriction, only loans held by the feds are eligible. 770,000 borrowers will be affected, according to Reuters. But it will be welcomed by the private banks that hold those loans. Also, six Republican-led states had sued to stop the program. Now, this loan forgiveness part of the overall package gets the most attention, yet the bigger, longer-term impact could end up being its income-guided repayment program. My Marketplace colleague, Sabri Benashour, and our senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, looked closer. Sabri?
Okay, income-driven repayment plans. What is that?
These are plans that lower the monthly student loan repayment bill, and students pay back their loans based on a percentage of their actual earnings and family size.
So what is different about the new one?
Well, this one is a lot more generous. Specifically, focusing on undergraduates, borrowers would only pay 5% of their discretionary income If the payment doesn't cover interest charges, the government forgives the remaining interest. Any loan outstanding will be forgiven after 20 years, but the loan forgiveness period is only 10 years for those who borrowed $12,000 or less. Now, the plan is only for federal loans, and there are some other twists, but that's the basic outline for undergraduates.
So bottom line, the bills people are paying for their college education, those bills go down?
You know, the details are still emerging, but the initial calculations I've seen agree it would cut the amount borrowers pay back to go to college, and it would increase loan forgiveness. Economist Adam Looney, in an analysis for the Brookings Institution, offers this back-of-the-envelope calculation. The cost to students to attend college, on average, could drop by some 50%.
This benefit, it's directed at students. Does it do anything about the bigger problem, which is how expensive college and universities are?
No. It only deals with half the equation. And there's a lot of concern that this particular plan could lead to all kinds of negative consequences. For example, as you say, it does nothing to rein in what colleges and universities charge, and it could even create incentives to charge more. The budgetary cost to the federal government is also likely to be considerable. But here's the thing. The administration student loan forgiveness program, it's a dramatic signal that the current student loan system is failing too many students. And there's a group of reformers, and they've long coalesced around the idea of putting all existing and new student undergraduate borrowers into the kind of income repayment system the administration has proposed. They also would like to see repayments automatically linked to the IRS and actual earnings. So this plan could represent a first step toward a vastly simpler and lower cost way for students to pay for higher education compared to the current complicated bureaucratic maze, but it's only half the job.
Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.